Please turn with me now to the letter of 1 John. The letter of 1 John, we've been walking through John's epistle here for the last few weeks. And we want to pay attention to verses 7 through 11, but we'll read starting at verse 3 of chapter 2 just to set some context for us as to what he then writes in verses 7 through 11. This is found on page 1,398 to 1,399 of the Bibles provided there in your rows. Listen now to God's holy word. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going. Because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Remember, the grass withers and the flower falls, but God's word abides forever. Amen. Let us at this time briefly go to our God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we have your word brought before us, would you open our eyes and speak to us, that we might see and know and hear the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. In our text this morning of 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11, a key word in this text, only used one time, but nonetheless is important, is the word love. Now, in reflecting on the word love, we note the popularity of it in our society today. There have been poems written regarding one's affection for another. There have been books to better understand how we might love our spouse or be able to love those around us or even love difficult people. Songs have been written through the ages about love. Whether it's reflecting on its power or the desire to know it or the expression of commitment to keep it, always, forever, and ever. Some have asked, is this love? The Beatles said, all you need is love. And Tina Turner asked, what's love got to do with it? And yet John tells us. John would be the one who would, in some respects, identify with this connection for love. After all, he identifies himself not by name in his gospel, but simply as the disciple who Jesus loved. When he was older and he sat down before the members of the church in Ephesus, not able to speak a whole lot, yet the thing that he reminded the congregation was the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ to love. And he brings this concern of love even in our text this morning. Broadly, we see that John has basically given a series of tests in order to direct our attention to the assurance that a child of God might have in their position in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, he identifies what his theme or purpose in writing this letter is. He says, I've written to you who believe, so I write to Christians. That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. In the context in which he served, there were individuals who had come into the church who posited all sorts of ideas of doubt or conflict in order to cause individuals who were Christians who had grown up in the faith, and yet they began to wonder, they began to doubt, because these individuals who arose began to talk about a special knowledge, a special idea, a special connection, a special relationship. And John, as a good pastor, comes along and he says, hey, forget those guys. They can talk an awful lot. Chapter 1, you've heard it said. You've heard this positive. You've heard this presented. In chapter 2, you can know. They say and they hope. I speak and I know. So in walking along with these tests of assurance, as it were, here in chapter 2, we saw last time that John gives a moral test. The moral test in verses 3 through verse 6 is simply, do you live like Jesus? Do you live as Christ lived? Since you are united to the Lord Jesus Christ by a true and living faith, do you walk as he walked? Towards the end of the chapter, he's going to give another test. What do you believe? What do you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? Here before us right now, the test is, do you love as Jesus loved? In verses 7 through 11. Love is set before us because it is the mark of John in the exercise of the highest duty of the child of God, because through this it demonstrates the living evidence of new birth and eternal life. John, in turn, then, is setting before us to love as Jesus loved. He wants us to see this in two ways. The first is simply to understand, well, what is the manner or the way in which Christ loved? And with that, to understand that love is the way of Christ. And then secondly, as love is the way of Christ, so love then is the way of the Christian or the follower of Christ. And by uniting these two ideas together, the love of Christ and the love then of the Christian, of his expression to Christ, we're going to see this basic concept. To love as Jesus loved means, or assures us, or encourages us in the knowledge that we are connected to him. So firstly, we want to see that love is the way of Christ. It can be somewhat confusing as you look through this passage, because John, and even as he did it in his gospel, starts talking about new commandment, old commandment, which is not really an old thing, but a new thing. And you're going, what in the world is all this? Listen to what he says. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old one which you have had from the beginning. The old one is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you. Which thing is true in him and in you? Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. This is confusing, isn't it? A new commandment, which is really an old commandment, and yet it's an old commandment, which is a new commandment. Here's what John is saying. Love's been around for a long time. Love is nothing new. In fact, the fundamental basis of the commandments of God given from early on is that we would love God with our whole being and love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus noted that that's the summation of the law in Matthew 22, and he was appealing to Deuteronomy 6 as well as to Leviticus chapter 19. And love is implied even in the creation of Adam and Eve before the garden, where God shows himself to them. He identifies him as their sovereign and as their creator, and he then says, "Obey me." This obedience, as set forth from the very beginning, isn't only out of obligation, but with the fundamental expression of the heart to know, to understand, to recognize, and to confess God as Lord. And yet this old commandment is new. In what ways is it new? Oftentimes we think of new by means of the clock. I had an old car, now I have a new car. I had an old address, now I have a new address. And so there's then this change, a change of transportation, a change of residence. Old clothes give way to new clothes, and so forth. But John here isn't talking about chronology, the passing from one year to another. Instead, he's identifying it's new as in it's fresh. Or it is something that is of a qualitative difference that is set before us. It's fresh in two ways. The first of which, these individuals simply had not been a part of God's people and now are. And consequently, by coming in the context of the church, they hear then this call of duty, this responsibility as the people of God to love God and love their neighbor. But there's also then something even greater. It's the illustration of the powerful display of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's new. It's new because love took on flesh. Love became manifest in human form. Love was declared in an amazing way that was tangible, that could be seen, that could be felt, that could be heard. It was yes from the beginning, and yet, as John says, was looked upon and handled with hands and was manifest. Think about the life of Jesus Christ in the context of love and the greatness of that love manifest through him. Consider the extent of that love. It's a love that was old. It was before the dawn of time. It was something that God had from eternity past for his people that he showed forth in his word. And yet he gave it something that was tangible and in the garb of humanity, so that as the Son of God became man and dwelt among us, sinners could see love live. It was a love that was extended to all, so that Jesus even showed himself to be a friend of sinners, an associate of those who were despised and rejected by the society in the day of the time. Jesus walked and talked and engaged individuals who were under the judgment of God and destined or designated for hell in the eyes of others, and yet Jesus said that they were worthy of love and affection and consideration. He showed himself to be a friend for sinners and a savior of all who would look to him by faith, both Jew and Gentile, all in the context of the nations of the world. And so through Christ, we see a love that reaches all. But consider then the newness of this love in the sense of the length of his love. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8 commends to us the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of the love of God in Christ. How far did God go in order to save you? from the depth of your sins. So much so that even as you were identified in Adam, God had your name in his mind and written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that the Lord Jesus Christ would then humble himself and take upon the flesh of the Virgin Mary. He entered into a world that wasn't perfect like the state in which Adam had, but rather an imperfect world filled with all sorts of hardships and calamities and injustices. He grew under the extent of the law. He found favor with God and men. He interacted with sinful man and yet constantly showed perfection and righteousness, only giving us a glimpse into the further extent of his suffering that he endured to show the lengths of love that he had for all of his people. He suffered in the garden. He was abandoned by all. He was taken by the hands of sinful men, condemned to die, based on lies and fabrications, rejected by all and submitted to the torturous death on a cruel, cruel cross. And while he hung on that tree, he then endured the wrath of God, the curse of sin, so that even though we were alienated from God, we might be brought reconciled to him because of what the Son of God went through to show the length of love and how great is this love, how deep is the love of the Father and the Son for us, that we should be his children. This is the newness of the old commandment lived out for us in a qualitative way so that we might see, we might hear, we might understand, and we might have in a living form this love. Love is the way of Christ. Love is the way that Christ has manifested himself to you. Love is the way that Christ calls you, if you are apart from him, to himself, to show that he is not cruel, that he is not unkind. Yes, he has a yoke, but he tells us his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so come unto him, all who are sorrowed, all who are burdened with a heavy load, and he will give you rest. He provides this rest through the expression of this love. But love then is the way of the Christian. Yes, love is the way of Christ, but it is then the way of the Christian. John notes that in light of this expression of love by the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be manifest by all those who are united to him. Notice what he says in verses 9 through 11. He who says he's in the light and yet hates his brother, he's in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. John here gives two negatives and a positive. We'll put the two negatives together and then we'll consider the positive. The negative idea is this, that if you have a profession regarding faith and yet you are absent of love, then it's not true. Because faith will manifest itself in love. As Christ is love and shows that to be his way, then all those who are connected to him will also show this. John sets this out particularly because of the errors that were present in his day and time. Those who professed some special higher knowledge about God noted this great communion interaction that they had with him, and yet they would have no expression of faith in their lives. This is a challenge for us as well today. Many profess a knowledge of God. Many profess some sort of connection with him. Many declare that they have some sort of relationship with him, or even identify themselves under the name of Christ. John gives us a test. The last test was, what do you believe? How do you live? This test, how do you love? For the one who has been touched with the love of Jesus Christ and understands the depth of their sin and the depth of the separation they had from the eternal God, and saw how God had overcome their situation through the expression of love, can't help but reflect this love in their lives. John notes the seriousness of this lack of love. He says that there is a great talk, and yet ultimately, there's not only nothing there, but furthermore, this individual is basically walking around, fumbling and stumbling in darkness. They profess enlightenment, they profess truth, they profess knowledge, they profess understanding, and yet it is void, it is absent. It's not present. The child of God cannot be lacking in the expression of love, for love is of God. Love is a fruit that he produces in his children. Love is something that is present by all those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Love is the thing that they have experienced within their own souls. And it can't help but flow forth to those who are in the community of God's people and those who are identified as one's neighbor. Positively, love arises out of light. John says in verse 10, "He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him." There's no cause in his own life. There's no cause in relation to others. There's a present action that shows itself in a particular way. What is it? How did Jesus love us? Sacrificially. The whole expression comes down to this: are you willing to sacrifice yourself for another? Jesus reflected this many times over. He sacrificed his time by serving others, even those who are outside of the kingdom. He sacrificed his own desires by submitting to the will of the Father for your good and mine. He furthermore sacrificed of his time, of his energy, of his strength, of his comforts, of his convenience, all for the benefit of others. These expressions of love demonstrate that love at its root is a denial of self in order to benefit and build up another. The one who does this demonstrates, they show they understand exactly what Christ has done for them and are consequently dwelling in his light and in the warmth of his love. How about you? Do you understand that the way of life is the way of love? Do you desire to know and to understand that you do have that relationship with God your Father and with the Son Jesus Christ? Then what ways is the love of Christ expressed in you and through you. The encouragement to us as the people of God is that this love would be manifest. For without the expression of love, then we have to agree with John that we are in darkness. But those who have had the work of Christ brought forth in their hearts will shine forth the light of the gospel. How might this tangibly be brought forth? Think about what happened in the lives of those who interacted with the Lord Jesus. When they came face to face with his love before them, and they responded in kind with love for others. Where they had wronged, they made it right. Where they had wronged others by means of their speech, they addressed it. Where they had wronged others by means of their actions, they sought then to bring restitution. There was a practical demonstration of the love of Christ in them. How might it be for us? What are the words that you speak to others? Do they show the presence of Christ on your lips? If you've harmed someone by means of your words, you need to go and apologize and say you're sorry and ask their forgiveness. If you have physically wronged someone, whether you have taken away some money from them, or you have cheated them, or you have done something that has been improper, you must go and ask their forgiveness. And when this occurs, love is manifest by forgiving them. There is a practical demonstration of the presence of Christ's love in you as his child. Even though it may be costly, even though it may be timely, even though it may be consuming, it still must be present. Self-denial regarding rights and feelings and needs means others must be put first. The Samaritan who loved his neighbor gave up of his schedule and gave up of his pocketbook so that the one who was found on the side of the road almost dead could live in the inn and experience medicinal healing and comfort. The shepherd who loved his sheep, even though he abandoned the 99 to find the one, went on a hunt and gave up his time in order to secure that lost one. Mary, in the expression of her love for the Lord Jesus, gave up of a valuable perfume so that she might then anoint the feet of her Savior and express her love for him. And it's the same for us. It may hurt, it may cost, it may require our time, our energy, and our effort. But this matter of expression is serious, for by it, it testifies to others of our connection to the Lord Jesus Christ, and by it, it speaks to us regarding our union with the Lord. In what ways may you manifest that you are on the path of love? That you understand and that you know of the love of God shed abroad in your hearts. How might you convey love to your fellow church members? How might you display this to your family? How might you manifest this to your neighbors so that all men may know that you belong to Christ as you display his love in your life? May the Lord help us and strengthen us to be willing to sacrifice of ourselves so that the expression of love may speak of Jesus Christ himself. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us to understand this glorious truth and yet not avoid it. Help us to consider the quality of the sacrifice that Christ has made for us, the extent and the depth of it, that it might richly direct us in our walk of faith. May this be the testimony of your people here and abroad, that we are known as your people by our love for one another. We pray that you would help us in this, even as we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.